Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, it's 12:30, Czech Republic Prague time for Matt Roberts, and the Czech Republic have just managed to get the win. Of course, in the middle of the night, because that's what tennis does. And actually, even saying that, I think that that shows, Matt, that the event has pretty much got its scheduling about right, because they have gone to the limit. They've gone to the very final doubles rubber in a deciding tiebreak, and they are finishing only just after midnight. So it's not too bad as late finishes go. Really, Czech Republic against Germany was every bit the match that I think we thought it would be in terms of how close it has ended up being, even if maybe some of the scorelines within it aren't completely what I would have expected. But that's been a thriller, hasn't it? And probably what you went to Prague hoping for.
That's a very positive spin on the scheduling, David. I mean, yes, I think you're right, I suppose. They have been pushed to the limit, and it is just about still a respectable time and the sort of time that tennis does happen. I still think they've missed the memo from the Davis Cup finals a couple of years ago, where six matches were scheduled in a day and it was too late. You know, it's possible that some more of these matches could have been longer and we could have been here even longer. It is giving Madrid 2019. I have a very keen sense of deja vu at the moment with, just the sort of energy lift throughout the day, the match involving the home nation being absolutely thrilling. As you said, that was the highlight of the day, the Czech Republic playing at home. And then, tennis continuing late-ish into the night. The Czech Republic-Germany tie was excellent, and I'm sure we'll get into it.
Yeah, well, let's start with it, I think, because that is the headline of the day. And it began with the most incredibly one-sided match in the singles between Markéta Vondrousova and Andrea Petkovic. And I watched a lot of this match, and I don't get many predictions right, as you know. when Vondrousova broke for 3-1,
you called it.
She suddenly started to hit a few shots that made me look at her, and actually reminded me of the match I always think about in regard to her when she played Daria Kasatkina in Rome on the Pietrangeli court, and suddenly all the fans streaming out of the biggest centre court there, had nothing else to watch, so they went and watched that. And I don't think they cared too much when they turned up, but by the time they left, they were all Markéta Vondrousova fans, because she just bewitched them with her tennis. She's so exciting when she's on, and I think she can serve up so much other dross that you end up sort of forgetting the highlights that she's capable of. And suddenly, I mean, look, Andrea Petkovic is a bit of a meat and potatoes tennis player. She is quite a stiff-looking tennis player, an incredible athlete, finely tuned, gives everything all the time, has my utmost respect. She's one of the players I like to listen to talk about the sport, probably more than any other. But she is limited. She has managed to get out of her career an incredible amount for her gifts, I would say, which are limited. She's got to top 10 in the world. But Vondroušová has a completely other world level of talent. And there were just a few shots she hit past Petkovic, which Petkovic playing her slightly sort of paint-by-numbers tennis, coming in behind an inside-out forehand, just watched as these balls were just flying past her when she had no answer to them whatsoever. And I thought at the time, I think Vondroušová could absolutely take her apart here, the way it's looking at 3-1. And she did. She won the next six games. And it was frightening to behold for Petkovic, who ended up looking really emotional towards the end of the match. And I mean, I didn't really know what was causing the emotion, whether she was injured or whether she was just incredibly frustrated. But she was clearly upset towards the end of the match, and the scoreline was a rough one for her to look at.
Yeah, and I asked her about those emotions that she was displaying towards the end of that match, because there was some chatter among the German press here that maybe she was injured. I think she's had a knee injury, relatively long-term knee injury that's held her back in the last few months. She's not quite been able to do the training she wanted to, but she did come into this tournament saying she was fully fit, finally. So I think some of the journalists were worried that there'd been a setback in terms of that injury, but she confirmed that wasn't the case. And she said it was actually anger at herself, really, that manifested itself as tears. And, you know, she was really emotional and she was annoyed that she couldn't play her best tennis on the most important point. She thought, I wasn't playing that badly overall, but when it mattered, I just couldn't get anything going, and I felt powerless to do anything about it. I just didn't have it today when I needed it. And absolutely, she credited Markéta Vondroušová with playing a part in that, in terms of not giving her anything, being consistent and just being in all the games. So Petkovic had to work really, really hard for anything. When you had Vondroušová playing that well and Petkovic not playing as well when she needed to, you got a very one-sided scoreline.
Yeah, that made then for a very interesting second rubber, because really I would say the highlight of the day and one of the matches I was most looking forward to for the whole week was going to be Angelique Kerber against Barbora Krejčíková. And it was fascinating to see them pop up their bios at the start of the match on the screen. And you'd got Kerber, who's played, I think, something like 25 singles rubbers, and she was pretty 50-50 in terms of the wins and the losses. And you got Krejčíková, who'd only ever played one rubber in her whole Fed Cup and now Billie Jean King Cup career, and that was a doubles, you know. And yet here she was with the weight of the nation on her, really, as the leader, as you spoke to her yesterday, and they were lining up against each other. And really the scenario was kind of perfect for Krejčíková. She was coming in front of this crowd with a win already under the belt because Vondroušová had done so well, and she could just sort of finish the tie right there and then. And she got off to a flyer, didn't she? I mean, she won the first three games of the match, and then suddenly Kerber just started to dig in and extend rallies and do what she does. And she gets that look in her eye, a little bit like Andy Murray had tonight in the match that he had in Paris. He ended up losing a match for the first time in his life, having seven match points against Dominic Kupfer. But that sort of, oh yeah, this, I live for this kind of look in her eye. And she just dragged it into this tiebreak in the first set, which lasted well over an hour, and ended up losing the set, did Kerber, but it felt as though in losing the set she took so much out of Krejčíková that really the job was kind of done there, wasn't it? Because the second set, I've rarely seen a match turned quite as dramatically as that. And I think we saw, I think Krejčíková was struggling out there. She did not look in a good way.
I think you're right. I think she's got a bit of an injury, actually, that it seems she's picked up on her right leg. She didn't want to go into too much detail about it in her press conference, but something is bothering her. And she wasn't really chasing down balls in that second set. She did look fatigued on top of the injury as well, based on what Kerber had done to her, as you describe, in that first set. It was trademark Kerber. It was classic Kerber. If you're going to show someone in 20 or 30 years' time, what was Angelique Kerber like as a tennis player? I would, you know, there's lots of matches you could pick, but this would make the shortlist, I think. Just relentless, and just got sort of stronger and stronger as the match went on. And she had to deal with an atmosphere as well. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about the start of the day where the crowds were quite small. But by this point, okay, it wasn't a huge crowd, but it was a loud crowd and a very engaged crowd in this match. They had all their instruments and they were rooting for Krejcikova, and she had this fast start. And for Kerber to absorb that, to respond to it, to recover from it, and then to win the second set, having had those chances in the first set, I just was full of admiration for everything she did. And by the end, there were lots of double fist pumps that we associate with Kerber. And, you know, it was a reminder for me of why she's been one of my favourite players to watch over this last decade, really.
Mm. You mentioned those horns that we were hearing in the stadium. There's a great line from Laura Robson in commentary, who just said, when a close-up came of the German captain, Rainer Schüttler, and she just said, I think Schüttler's a bit over these horns now. He looked like he wanted to leave, to be quite honest, and go somewhere else for a little bit of quiet time, you know, read the paper or something in his own space. I mean, what is it like when you're in there? I mean, it seems... unrelenting, really. They don't seem to run out of gas, these fans blowing their horns.
No, it's after every point, isn't it? It is unrelenting. It actually reminded me of the Fed Cup tie I attended. You were there as well, at the Copper Box Arena in London when Britain played Kazakhstan, and they had their own professional. I think he might have been playing the tuba. They'd sort of hired him, the Federation had hired him to perform songs, and he was sort of doing Star Wars theme tune and all sorts. And the experience tonight in the O2 Arena in Prague put me in mind of that, someone skilled and willing to play that horn the whole night. And yeah, I was a bit over it by the end as well, I must say.
you ended up, though, at the end of that second singles, so it's one all between the Czech Republic and Germany in the group of death, as we've called it. And it was then that we're expecting the crack doubles team of Katerina Siniaková and Barbora Krejcikova to come out and win it for the Czech Republic. But then you very quickly messaged me and said, Krejcikova's not playing. How big of a shock was that within the sort of press room? And I mean, obviously, you know, you got the locals there as well as people like yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a murmur, I would say, when that news came through. I think people were perhaps expecting it because of how Krejcikova had looked in the singles. And Lucy Hodatska is a, you know, very experienced doubles player. They do have that extra person who can come in, and she ended up combining with Siniaková, and they won in a decisive tiebreak, a match tiebreak, that they just got through it. And look, in the end, it's quite a statement from the Czech Republic to end up winning a tie against Germany without any points coming from Krejcikova whatsoever. That's a indicator of the depth they have in their squad, and Markéta Vondrousova today played like a number one. So they've got players in reserve, but it is a concern not to have Krejcikova in full force, because she started the match so well. I think she was ready to embrace this situation, and for her to be a bit derailed, I think does open up the competition.
Mm. But in the end, the Czech Republic managed to get through. That's a big win for them, and I mean, much needed, because there's no room for error, really, in this group. You've got to finish top for a start, mm-hmm. haven't you, to get through to the semi-finals. Germany are incredibly strong. Switzerland are the other team in the group. We know that they are going to be a threat. And it is going to be fascinating to see what happens over the coming days, to see if anybody can stop the Czech Republic now that they've got that one win under their belts. But I thought Krejčíková in her press conference was pretty guarded there about that injury. And that she's concerned. She said, I don't want to say anything, but she clearly is worried.
Yeah, 100%.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So what else happened today? What else were the highlights? I mean, the other match we had in the evening session today resulted in a win for Spain, but I would say they were pushed a lot closer than probably I would have expected at the start of the day. Not that Slovakia don't have good players, because they do, and obviously Matt Roberts drew our attention to Victoria Kuzmova some 3 years ago now, I think it was, Matt, as one of your ones to watch for, what was it, 2018? Or 2019, I can't quite remember now.
It was very specifically the 2019 Australian Open.
Right, yes. Hasn't quite happened as maybe you might have hoped at the time, but you've kept an eye out, and she got herself a massive win today over Carla Suarez Navarro. Karolina Szmidlova then took on Sara Cerebes Torma and really pushed her and had a right old fight. And then in the end, the Spanish team came out on top in the doubles tonight. And so that's ended up being a very good win for them, I think. But I think it shows actually that some of the form, I mean, we've always known this about team competition, that the form book for individuals can go out of the window. And it feels like we're going to get a bit more of that this week. There's some players who really do seem to grow a little bit out there on the team stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe that leads us on to talking about the first tie of the day, which was France versus Canada. And in particular, the performance from Françoise Abanda, who is a player who's been around. She's 24 now. She played her first pro tournaments in 2012 when she was 15. And, you know, I think by the age of 20, she reached what has been her career high ranking of 111 in the world. So she has been around. And in particular, she's done well in the Billie Jean King Cup in the past. I think she's had 5 wins previously in this tournament, and she got her 6th today against Fiona Ferro of France. And that's a really big win. I think it was a deceptive match because Fiona Ferro is the more well-known player, the higher-ranked player, and yet it was her debut in singles in this tournament. And as I've said, Abanda does have quite a lot of experience in this tournament, and she also knows Fiona Ferro from their junior days, and I think she just felt very comfortable in the matchup. Abanda isn't a player I've seen much of in the past, but she's pretty elegant, very tall, hits a very flat ball, and you know there's a lot of talent there, but she hasn't played much tennis at all. This was only her 12th match since March 2020, since the tour's shut down. She's only managed to play 12 matches, and most of those at ITF level rather than WTA level, because, well, she's a little coy. She doesn't go into too much detail, but she had COVID, and I think that was a physical struggle for her, and also in her words, a mental struggle. She didn't want to get back out on the tour, so she hasn't played that much. But just on this point of lower-ranked players doing better in this competition or players out of form doing better in this competition, she's a perfect example. And she'd said something today in her press conference which really crystallized something for me, because I asked her straight up, why have you been better playing in this tournament than on the tour? And she sort of jokingly said, well, I've got a captain on the bench telling me what to do. And I said, oh, is that significant? I mean, is that the case? Does that really help you? And she said, yeah, but not only that, also having the whole team here, having the physios, having the support staff in the team. And it made me realize that, yeah, for someone like a Bander coming into this competition is seeing how the other half live on the tour all the time, traveling with their big teams and getting access to, you know, the best coaching and the best physios. And she gets that in a competition like this. And I'm sure all of that does lift her performance. You know, I think we often talk about intangibles like the magic of the competition or the spirit of the competition. And I'm sure there is a part of that as well. But a sort of real life practical thing like having access to better coaching and having that support around her, she feels like that makes a real difference for her in a tournament like this. I've never really thought about that.
That's fascinating. I also do feel that tennis is just an incredibly lonely sport, both out there when you're on the court yourself. If you don't have a support team around you, or if you don't have a crowd, it can be. And I just think the voices in the head when things aren't going so well and all those sort of things. But then all the other stuff as well, the going out to dinner and the long hours of waiting. If you don't have people around you, you've got your own voice in your head the whole time, unless you are talking to people on Zoom or whatever it might be. But it can be incredibly lonely. You know, it's I think people underestimate that, particularly on the lower rungs of the sport, when you're not able to surround yourself with whoever it is you want, or if you're maybe not that comfortable in social settings, and there's a lot to it. But yeah, she got them off to a great start. I remember commentating on Françoise Bander probably around about the sort of time you mentioned, when she was a teenager. And, you'd come around to Toronto or Montreal, the tournaments there, and she'd be given a wild card and she'd play, but she wouldn't necessarily get a win. This is a real moment for her to celebrate. And so she's got Canada off to a great start there against, well, one of the favourites for the whole thing. And Elise Cornet has pulled it back to 1-1, but in the end, the Canadian doubles pairing has managed to win this tie for them. It's an absolutely fantastic win. Dabrowski and Marino beating Cornet and Burrell 6-3, 7-6. I know you were impressed particularly with Dabrowski, but so tell us why. Tell us a little bit about that. But also, where on earth is Caroline Garcia, Matt? Because she is the player who was, I would have expected, would have been playing in this tie.
Yeah, so from a Canada perspective, this is brilliant, you know, really. I mean, I was so impressed with Dabrowski. She's the number 5 ranked doubles player in the world, and she feels like such a ace up the sleeve for Canada. I don't think, you know, I've certainly not thought about what a big thing it is to have a doubles expert come in, particularly in this new format where the doubles is the third match rather than the fifth match. You know, it's much more likely that it's going to be live, I think. And for her to come in, she just was a difference maker. Her court sense, she knows where to be. She's got sharp volleys. She can put the ball in awkward spots for her opponents. She just is a brilliant, brilliant doubles player. And Rebecca Marino backed her up really well. I thought Marino played really well in her singles, lost to Cornet, and then, you know, her body of work today deserved a point. So I was pleased for her. And yeah, it's a really big result for Canada. For France, I think a lot of eyebrows were raised when that team selection came out first thing. Even Fiona Ferro playing. I mean, you know, we know her. She's had some good results in the past, but she's not been in good form. And she's actually the lowest ranked of all the French players this week. So that was a bit of a surprise. But then Caroline Garcia, absolutely. Where is she? I asked Julien Benneteau. He was pretty vague. He just said, oh, we'll see how she is. So I was speaking to some French journalists, and the upshot is Garcia is injured. She has a knee problem, which has been troubling her for a little bit. And the hunch from the journalist I was speaking to is that she won't play on Wednesday either. But Beneteau said in French that they didn't pick her today because they're doing everything they can to preserve her. Because I think they thought Canada was the weaker one in their group. They've got Russia as their next match. I think Beneteau was gambling and hoping that they would have enough with the team they put out today to beat Canada and then to give themselves a chance to take on Russia. But it's just not worked out that way. And they find themselves behind. And it wasn't a defiant press conference from Julien Benneteau and the rest of his team. You know, they were still saying, you know, technically we've still got a chance, but their faces said it all. They were pretty glum. And, you know, they're the defending champions. And it just feels like such a long way away from 2 years ago, you know, where they won the competition. Now they've had 2 years to wait to defend their title. They've probably been the most outspoken against the format change. They're just in a little bit of a huff about it all, I think, is how I would describe the sort of atmosphere around the French team. And yeah, I'd be very, very surprised if they make it out of the group. In fact, I mean, they could be knocked out tomorrow without even hitting another ball if Canada beat Russia.
Yeah, well, fascinating, isn't it? To see all of the various permutations. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of round robin tennis, as you know, but I mean, it is very interesting when you get a team that is still alive but is under enormous pressure because of the way they've had a loss, or they've, you know, somebody else has had a massive win. And it's going to be really, really interesting tomorrow. The other winner of the day was Belgium. And I mean, a very one-sided first match of the day, with Greet Minnen winning 6-2, 6-2 against Irina Shymanovich of Belarus. And then a very, very good match, one of the matches of the day actually, with Elise Mertens winning 6-2, 4-6, 6-2 against Alexandra Sasnovich. You may remember she beat Emma Raducanu a few weeks ago. And that was the sort of match that I expected it to be, very close. And actually Sasnovich was not too far away from turning that around. They got a doubles win though, did Belarus, which kind of, I don't know how important that ends up being. I mean, I suppose it depends how the other matches go. But, you know, just winning one rubber may end up being decisive, mightn't it?
Yeah, it could be. And the Belgian captain, Johan van Herk, actually made a change to the doubles lineup. Even though they were 2-0 up, he put Elise Mertens in alongside Kirsten Flipkens in the hope of trying to win it 3-0. You know, he was going all out. He said, we can't afford to slip up. If we have the opportunity to play our best team, we should. They then lost it to Lapko and Sasnovich. But yeah, still a tie win for Belgium. So it's still in their hands. I think they've got a really good chance. They've got a sneaky strong team. Mertens being able to play both singles and doubles. They've got Minnen, who's in really good form at the moment. Flipkens brings some experience. You know, Australia's the other team in their group, and they're playing them tomorrow, I think. And I would expect Belgium to go through that group. I think they're the favourites, thanks to the withdrawals that Belarus and Australia have suffered.
Yeah, you mentioned tomorrow. What else have we got? Because we've got the first appearance of the United States of America playing, Team USA playing for the first time tomorrow as well, haven't we?
Yes, they are playing Slovakia in the, let's call it, evening.
What time is it there, Matt, now? 1 a.m.
1 a.m. Bring it on. And then there's also Russia against Canada. As I said, a tough ask for Canada off the back of really grueling matches today against a fresh Russia team with all of their players ranked in the top 50. And then the other match in the evening tomorrow is Germany-Switzerland. So another heavyweight clash in that group of death. Again, tough for Germany to come back to take on a Switzerland side, which is stacked with talent. Just sort of it's at this point where you realise that the draw can actually make an impact when all the matches are so close together.
Are we expecting, I mean, we alluded to it earlier on, that yes, great atmosphere in the evening session, particularly between Czech Republic and Germany tonight, but it was quiet, wasn't it, in those daytime matches? I mean, look, it's an early start. To get all this stuff in, even finishing at midnight, past midnight, they're starting at 10:30 in the morning. That's pretty early for tennis matches to get a crowd going, particularly if there isn't a home nation involved. And it was quiet. I mean, how big a concern is that to you in terms of the experience of being there and I guess the future of this particular format of event, which doesn't have home and away in the final stages? And do we expect anything different tomorrow?
I don't think we are expecting anything different. And in fact, I think overall, with the Czech Republic not playing now, I don't think they play again until Thursday. So we've got 2 days now without the Czech Republic. I think we're expecting, you know, sparse crowds, really. And given the Czech Republic are not involved, probably not that loud crowds. You know, there's sort of pockets of support, but it's not the sustained support that you get with the Czech Republic playing. It does have an impact on the experience. I must say it was, you know, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a pretty tough scene hearing the national anthems in the stadium today with, I would say there was 150, 200 people in there to start with. And this is an arena that holds about 15,000, 17,000, something like that. You know, it just doesn't say premier competition, that, does it? And the French team got into their own little huddle when the national anthem was played, a little circle, I think, to feel more connected to one another because there was no connection to the rest of the stadium. And as you said, a big part of that is 10:30 on a Monday. You're not going to get an electric atmosphere, absolutely, but perhaps that is a structural problem with the new format. You know, there's so many teams and matches that need playing in a week. You have to start some earlier in the day. I think perhaps fewer teams in these finals would help. I don't know. But yeah, I do think it's something that is a shame because we've seen that this format can have positives. We saw it tonight. Czech Republic, Germany was fantastic. And generally, I like all the teams coming together in one place or lots of teams coming together. I do think there's lots to be said for that. And I do think there's lots to be said for the doubles being elevated in this format. All of that, but the crowds are an issue, and we saw it in Madrid, and we're seeing it again here. Mm.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that and see how it is tomorrow, and report back for you what the matches are like as well. Matt will be there; he'll be in the press conferences, and yeah, it's just really interesting to get the view of somebody who's on the ground each day. So we hope you have enjoyed being out of here. A little bit of a flavour of what goes on. Now, a few people have asked us, particularly in the UK, how they can follow this and actually watch the action, because it isn't being televised on one of the main channels here in the UK. But you can watch a stream of it on the Billie Jean King Cup Finals website, which I mean, it's really good TV coverage, but yeah, you can pay €7.99 for the tournament in order to stream the entire tournament throughout the next week, if you'd like to do that. That's how we've been watching it, yeah, it's also on Tennis Channel in the United States and in a couple of other countries. Tennis Channel International carrying it in Germany and Austria, I saw as well. So in there's loads of other channels around the world carrying it. So hopefully you get a chance to see it. I think the action as the week goes on is going to be really good. So Matt, get to bed. I think you're going to need it because it's another 10:30 start tomorrow. Just a quick word on Catherine, who was presenting Amazon Prime Video's coverage of Paris today. And there was a win for Cameron Norrie for Britain against Federica Delbonis as he still tries to catch the players in front of him and get to the ATP finals. Andy Murray, I mentioned, 7 match points. That's more match points, we reckon, that he's had and lost a match from than in his entire career. So goodness knows how he's going to process that one tonight. So loads and loads of good tennis for us to all enjoy over the course of the next week. Our mascot today, or for this week, is Nelly, the lovely working Cocker Spaniel, owned by Katie and Mike. Our executive producer is Chris Albert Lee, top bloke he is. Billie Jean King is on her way to Prague. She still sponsors you, though, Billie Jean the dog, don't you worry. Scouser, Mousel, Rogue and Zeus are Catherine, Matt and my mascots. And yeah, we'll be back with another edition of the Tennis Podcast tomorrow. Thanks for joining us tonight. Do leave us an iTunes review if you're enjoying the show. Tell your friends if they want to listen, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.